Hallelujah. So, this evening, the thing that's been on my heart lately is things of the mind. I mean, what are we putting into it? I mean that's where the battle is. Training the mind is the name of the teaching, but I think train the brain sounds a little more catchy. Train the brain. So either training the mind or training the brain. That's what we're going to talk about this evening. Amen. Because that's where the battle is. I mean, there's a constant battle that goes on between these ears, especially my ears. It's a nonstop battle. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. We're going to read verses 3 through 5. Hallelujah. Let me put these trusty glasses on so I can see something. Hey. There we go. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Everybody there? It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." The war is real, people. But it's not what we think it is. It's not from the chaotic world that's surrounding us. Sure, it's full of turmoil and discouragements and everything nasty in the world, but the battle is in the mind. Our thoughts are our battlefield. There's always a battle between what's true and what's not. Obedience and rebellion are weighed, trying to decipher which voice is the Lord's. Am I the only one that struggles with which voice is the Lord? There's that battle in that, just in itself, upon me anyway. Which voice am I listening to, man? Who told me that? Amen. It's often drowned out by distraction, pride, fear, or condemnation. Well, the word says here, it's clear, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. To take a thought captive is to intercept it before it takes root. That means to cast it down before it takes hold of you. Amen. Before it becomes a thought in your soul, you got to cast out. You got to know who's telling you that. Amen. And it takes practice. We need to fill our mind with truth. The Word of God is a primary weapon. It is the sword of the Spirit and is capable of cutting through even the most rooted strongholds. What's a stronghold? A memory lie. Scripture, prayer, worship, and fellowship believers sharpens our awareness and strengthens our defense against those strongholds. The quicker we recognize the enemy, the quicker we're able to shut it down. So the faster we recognize that what's coming at us, we can take that captive and cast it out. Amen? So it doesn't take hold and become a stronghold. Because after time, that's what a memory lies, a stronghold. It takes root in ourselves. So the very first thing upon training the brain or training the mind is to take captive what's in your mind. Take control of your mind. Don't let the things of the world control it. You take control over it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Colossians 3, please. Oh, we're gonna go somewhere tonight. That poor little lizard, man. He's about this big. He's getting bigger too. He was in there, and he put a stick in there. I don't know how he got that. I don't know, but he did. Okay. Anywho, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Amen. Everybody there? The word says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things with which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Hallelujah. And says, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Amen. We are no longer bound by the world's way of thinking. Whenever we become Christ, we shouldn't be thinking like the world does. Amen. So what is the world? Lust of the flesh, just the pride of life. Those are the three things that are of the world that try and constantly get into your brain, in between the ears where the battle is. Amen? But we are no longer bound by the world's way of thinking. We have a new identity. The old man is no longer. We are new in Christ. Amen. We have a new identity, comes as a new way of living and thinking. We must intentionally redirect our heart and our mind constantly to align with Christ. It's an everyday battle. It's not going to do it by itself, people. It takes practice every single day. Once you become who you are in Christ, grounded in Christ, you know, you got your identity, it takes a constant battle. Think of the thermostat. Does that thing get set by itself? No, it takes action to set it. So just set your minds on a thing. Just like setting a thermostat, you got to set it. It's a constant, everyday thing. And what does the devil come to steal? He wants to steal your identity. He wants to take who you are and take you back to who you were beforehand. But no, we set your mind on Christ because you are a new identity. That's who we are in Christ. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews 12, please. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Everybody there? It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Our mind wanders easily. It's a constant spinning wheel. I know mine does. I'm constantly going like this, nonstop, about stupid stuff. Like, you know, why is it orange? Why is it banana yellow? All kinds of crazy stuff. But it's a constant spinning wheel that can replay mistakes, fears, distractions. Without direction, our thoughts can spiral into total confusion sometimes, and that happens, and causes defeat. This verse is important because it urges us to get our eyes off ourselves or our circumstances. Get out of yourself, get our circumstances, and realize who you're going to fix your eyes. Fix your eyes on. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what it says. Because he often develops our faith in Jesus. So whenever, one of the things about training your mind is to fix yourself on Jesus. Everything that you do. He is the author and developer of your faith. Amen. He is the one who He's the complete guideline of how on this earth we need to be, because he went through it all. Amen. So that's one of the one things whenever you're going through stuff is, you know, everybody's gonna go through it. And that's the circumstances, everybody is, you know, welcome to the earth. I mean, we're all one way or another battling it. But when you focus on Jesus, man, not to the left, not to the right. But straight ahead, man, there's always seems to be a calmness about it, and it tends to make you through. The situation isn't going to disappear. You still got to deal with the situation, but you deal with the situation with a better attitude. And that goes a long way, especially, man, being a Christian. Man, you get looked at like that. Like, oh, man, ooh, look at, he's a Christian. He's acting that way. No, we're not supposed to. The world's looking at us, people. And we got to focus upon that. And, you know, I'm still a baby. I'm very novice at this, and I try my best to act Christ-like. But man, I tell you what, man, that battle in mind, man, gets to me sometimes too. I mean, this is the way it is. So we always need to take that step back, and refocus upon who we are, our identity in Christ, and focus on Him, the author and developer. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. It doesn't mean that those things that don't exist. What it means is we look to the one who overcomes it. When we focus on him, our minds grow calmer, our thoughts are more disciplined, and it makes our faith stronger. Amen. Let's go to Romans 12, please. Romans 12. Book of Romans. Hallelujah. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Everybody there? It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you ready to change your life? Man, that's a question you got everybody faces. And we come to this place, man, most of us, I'm pretty safe, about 99% of us come in this facility here, man, sick and tired of being sick and tired, man. It's your rock bottom. And you ready to change your life? That's the first step it takes. Is you ready to change your life? It's not easy. If you're ready to change your life, you must change the way you think. If we are to take every thought captive, we must allow God to renew our way of thinking. To conform is to shape yourself according to something else, to fit into the world, and to fit into a mold. We don't want to be conformed to this world. We don't want to fit into this world. We are to be outcasts of the world. We do not belong here. Once you realize you don't belong here, things get a little bit different. Amen? We don't belong here. So we're not to conform to this world. The world conforms you to its values, habits, and definitions of success. Tells you what to believe and what not to believe. Our minds naturally absorb this way of thinking. It's what we were born into. But God offers another way. Transformation. Hallelujah. A complete overhaul from the inside out. This transformation happens by renewing your mind. It's a process, daily, minute by minute sometimes. He wants your thought pattern to match his truth. Renewing your mind means replacing lies with truth. A renewed mind responds, it doesn't react. It thinks with discernment and is not led by emotions. How often we get caught up in the old traps of our mind and get led up by emotion, that roller coaster of emotion. Man, that leads us, where does it, we're riding that thing without safety bars too, man. I mean, man, that's a final destination if I've ever seen it, you know, myself. I mean, that's just disaster waiting to happen. So what he's saying here is, don't be conformed, be transformed by renewal of your mind, which is daily. It takes time every single day. Is to, you know, take charge of your life. You want to change life, it takes you to do it. Like I've said this many times. I mean, he's going to move them out for you, but he's going to give you that shovel too. He's not going to dig it by himself because he wants to meet you halfway. He wants to see that you're going to put the effort in as well. So to be transformed is to ask to take hold of your life and say, you know what, enough is enough. I'm done with this old life. I want a new life. I need to transform it. It's a daily renewal every single day in our prayer closet. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, please. Quick, simple teaching on a Tuesday. I'm surprised I'm able to read my handwriting, because I was writing fast. Usually I have time to rewrite it, and I went back to a couple things. I was like, oh, what does that say? Whew. I'm in 1 Corinthians. That ain't going to work. Oh, praise God. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Everybody there? It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Man, some days hit harder than others. I mean, that's just fact. I mean, like I said, welcome to the earth. So some days we're going through it more than others. You try to take every thought captive, which we do. We already said it. We try to stay focused on Jesus. Life still will bring you pain, suffering, delay, disappointments. These are just realities that we have to face with every days of life. Amen. That can darken your outlook and weighing down your soul. But know this. It says here, what's unseen? What is unseen that's going on in your life that you can say? This is what I wrote down. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in you. That's unseen, right? Amen. That's one positive. So even though you're going through that nasty, hard day, going through it, the Holy Spirit is still working in you. Now listen to this. You have angels guarding you. Angels all around you. It's unseen. You can't see it, but they're there. Amen. That's two. So not only you got the Holy Spirit inside you that's working for you, you have angels that are guarding all around you, kicking butt, you know, what say legion with like 3,000 angels. I mean, think of how many angels that's around us. Man, how many angels are sitting here right now? Man, I wish I could see that. I need them glasses. What's that show? What's that show? And then this is one of the main things that really gets me that was really awesome when I wrote this down. It really touched my heart. Think of this, the unseen. Think of Jesus interceding for you at the right hand of God. He's interceding for you to get through that time. He's interceding. That's unseen. You can't see that, but it's happening. All that stuff is real. Amen? Just because, you know, the microwave still cooks food. Even if you can't see it cooking food, it still happens, right? Radio waves and everything else. So you got stuff, the unseen realm, that's working in your behalf. Amen? It says, there's an eternal home being prepared for us. It's real, and it's worth fixing your focus on. So in the battle of the mind, you don't fix your mind on the things of the world that's aching and troubling you, that's hurt and depressing and everything else. You fix of the unseen realm of what you can't see. You know, focus on Jesus because he's at the right hand of God interceding for you to get through that stuff. Not saying you're not going to go through it because it stays said in the Bible several times. Man, we're going through it. Amen. It's because we don't belong here. We're still going to, it's going to happen. We're going to have trials and tribulations. But it's how the battlefield of the mind is to overcome it and have a good attitude going through it. You can be happy and joyous and still go through it and still have a smile on your face and help others. Amen. Because you're going through it. It doesn't matter if I'm going through it or not. I still want to be the blessing to others. I don't want to be blessed. I want to be the blessing. I have done a teaching a long time ago, man. That just stuck in my heart. I want to be the blessing. I don't want to get blessed. I'm being blessed by being a blessing. And that's to be a battle of the mind, knowing who you are in Christ, having an identity in him, and sticking to the author of our faith, which is Jesus. So any trials or tribulations we go through, just know all the things that are working on your behalf in the unseen realm. Amen? Go to Romans 8, please. Do you guys get that? Was I speaking too fast? Let me know if I got slowed down, because I get excited sometimes, man. I'd be talking a million miles an hour, be looking at me like, what? Romans 8. Oh, Romans 8. Hallelujah. 1-8. Amen. The word says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, for to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Every day your thoughts are shaped by one force or the other. There's two forces. And the flesh or the spirit. There's no in between. There are all days, you know, the devil owns the fence, people, brothers and sisters. I mean, what's going on in your mind? I mean, that's exactly what's going on. You have that choice to make. What thought are you putting in? What thought are you going to touch and agree with? Is it good or is it bad? There's no in betweens. Think about that. That's for real. It's a very serious thing. The flesh or the spirit, there is no in between. These thoughts not just determine your peace, but also your entire direction. A mind governed by the flesh leads to death, not just physical, but think of this, spiritual disconnection as well. Man, you might as well just be physically dead if you're spiritually dead as well. think about how many, you know, I felt that. Sometimes I felt so close to the Lord, and then I do some stupid mistakes, and obviously I just feel spiritually disconnected. Something feels like, oh, man, boom, it hits me. Like, man, where'd you go, Lord? Oh, my goodness. He just, like, left me there. He didn't, not very far, but that's what it felt like. It's that spiritual disconnection that'll bring you when you're not thinking properly. Amen? Okay. It brings confusion, restlessness, and chaos. A mind governed by the Spirit leads to life, peace, clarity, calmness, and conviction, and communion with God. Who controls your mind? What's in control of your mind? Amen. Is it the flesh? Is it the Spirit? You know, one or the other. Not 6-7. One or the other. Hallelujah. Yeah, okay. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. So we've done a water heater today, and I don't sometimes I'm like my own guinea pig. I'm my own test laboratory rat. I'm gonna see, you know, I test myself to see what's going on with this, what's going on with that. And I knew I was going to be doing a water heater, and we have problems with water heaters before. We've had great, easy times with water heaters before. And I just, as soon as I got to this point, I was speaking in easiness, goodness. I was pressing that easy button the whole time to do this water heater. And just good thoughts of nothing but plentifulness, happiness, joyfulness. Let's go kick this thing's butt. Super duper easy, no problem. And we ran into a little issue, but guess what? There was like no problems whatsoever, man. Pastor and I was slam, bam, thank you, man. It was quick, too. And just because, you know, the thought process of it doesn't matter even if it's going to go bad or not. It was going to get done. It was going to do it filled with the Spirit. If that's something you got to step forward each and every, put your foot down, boom. I'm not walking the flesh. I'm a walking the Spirit. No matter how long it takes me in my prayer closet to come out of my bedroom, walking the Spirit, knowing that whatever battles or trials I go through today, it's going to turn out for the good. And I am going to be a blessing to somebody, no matter what. Just to put a smile on somebody's face and get the water heater fixed, no matter what it was. But it was pretty cool how it just worked out, because I tested myself. You know, I was like, you know, so, you know, sometimes I can be a negative Nancy. I mean, sometimes I was like, oh, what about this? What about that? You know, I got all these thoughts going in your head, all these questions in your brain. I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to think about none of that. I'm simply going to do this water heater, and we're going to be done. That's exactly what happened. It worked out perfectly. So, amen. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. So it worked out good, man. It was cool. Amen. So Ephesians 4. Did I say that already? Did I? I'm not even there. Praise God. I'm going the wrong way. Okay. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, having given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, and indeed you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which goes corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Before Jesus, our minds were trained by the world. This is be point blank, you know, what we were trained by the world, traditions of men and cultures and all that other stuff. Amen. What we should do, who we should be, what school we should go to, and all of our mind was filled with junk. Now, being deceived by these thoughts leads to emptiness and regret and creating strongholds. But now, through Christ, we are called to put off the old self and be made new in our minds and put on the new self, which reflects the character of Christ. This is a daily, deliberate, Holy Spirit-empowered process. This is your prayer closet. Amen? That's what your prayer closet is, man. It's to get in there and get rid of that old man daily. deliberate, and Holy Spirit empowered process. Putting off being renewed and putting on the new self means thinking, acting, speaking in the ways that reflect who you truly are in Christ. It's not about perfection. Listen, we're all, none of us perfect. It's not about being perfect. It's about alignment. It's about being aligned, you know, with Christ. Is your mind aligned with Christ? Amen. And when the truth and your identity in Him, that's where it all begins with, is always align yourself with Christ and with your identity is in Him, because you are the new man. Every day we wake up with a choice. Will I live from the old man, or will I walk in the new? Will I allow my thoughts to be renewed, or let them be ruled by habit or culture? A renewed mind sees with clarity and responds with faith. Amen. Let's go to Philippians 4, please. We're almost done. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Hallelujah. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Remember that the mind isn't just a battlefield. What you plant in it will grow. Train your mind to dwell on the things that reflect the character and glory of Christ. Now Paul says that here are all these things that we're supposed to help us to train our mind with. And it says, the first thing is whatever is true. What aligns with God's word? Truth sets you free. Lies bind. Fill your mind with God's word. Another one, the second one says, whatever is noble. What lifts your thinking to a higher place? Noble thoughts honor others and respect. And respect the weight of godly character. And the third one says, whatever is right. What is just and aligned with God's standards? Not everything familiar is righteous. Filter your thoughts through God's moral character. And the fourth thing he says is, whatever is pure. What is uncontaminated by sin or selfishness? Purity in thought cultivates purity in action. Think about that. A pure thought, pure actions. Amen. So a bad thought usually has bad action, does it not? Amen. And this one's for you, Patrick. It says, whatever is lovely. Lovely. Whatever is lovely. What stirs beauty, harmony, or joy? God's loveliness renews the soul. Amen. Oh, I'm somewhere. And it says, the fifth thing it says is whatever is admirable. What is worth talking about and celebrating or emulating? Focus on what builds up and not tears down. Think about that. Does that help in the battle? It sure does. You know, is it worth really talking about? Are we going to celebrate it? Are we going to emulate it? Are we going to focus on building up, or are you going to talk smack to kick it down? Amen. And the sixth thing he says is, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what reflects the excellence of Christ, dwell on that, and what would make heaven cheer. Think about that. What you're speaking and what you're saying, is heaven looking down upon you saying, yeah, man, good job? Or are they saying, oh, man, you need to go get in your prayer closet? You know, because the unseen realm is always there. Amen. It says, thoughts and action go hand in hand. Godly thinking produces godly living. Like I said, it doesn't mean we're perfect. We're not perfect. But, you know, if you want to live godly, you got to have godly thinking. And it starts with these six things. It's some of the practice. It takes practice to do all this stuff as well, because it's not perfect. We're all born in this world, and it takes time to get the mind of Christ down, to have that battlefield taken over. And like I said, it's an everyday battle. Not every day we're going to go through something, but it's up to us whether or not we're going to touch agree with it. Amen. I'm going to close with Proverbs 4, the book of Proverbs. going to read Proverbs 4, 23 through 27. Everybody there? It says, what did I say, 23? Yeah, okay. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the left, to the right, or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Your mind has a gate. Whatever you allow your thoughts, or whatever you allow through the gate, will shape how you think, what you believe, and how you feel, and ultimately how you live. We need to guard our hearts, including our thoughts, wills, and emotions. Satan doesn't need to completely destroy you to render your life ineffective. Think about that. He only needs a little bit, a tiny bit of you to do compromise. And boom, it's done. He doesn't have to destroy you all at once. All he needs is a little thing. It says he just needs to gain access to your thought. Just to a single little thought. A seed of doubt. A whisper of fear. A toxic thought left unchecked. It all begins in the mind. Once your mind is compromised, your choices, your words, and your direction often follow. Monitor your gates, what you see, what you hear, and what you dwell on, what you are watching on TV. What music are you listening to? Hallelujah. Who are you hanging out with? What jokes, opinions, images, doctrines are you letting in without a filter? I mean, letting this stuff in. All this stuff goes inside your brain, all your mind. You start having thoughts on this. I mean, are you putting positive, good things in your head? Or are you watching things you're not supposed to? It all interacts together upon the mind, upon the battlefield. Amen? Don't be passive about what your mind consumes. Guarding isn't about blocking out the bad. It's about strengthening the good. It means building habits, reinforcing godly thinking, reading the word, meditating on the word, confessing sin, worshiping and praying constantly. And these habits just don't protect your mind, they revive it. So, I mean, every time we pray, man, you got to, man, not only read the word, but meditate on it, man. Think of Psalms 91, man. You're supposed to, you know, in this ministry, you probably should know that by heart. And just don't read it, man. Meditate on it. Meditate on his promises. And that right then there, it's a mind changer, man. You get going on the good things, and that's what it's about. You get your mind off of the negativity of this world and the positive of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we're here to do. Not only we're here to fill, we got to get ourselves filled up in our prayer closets so we're going to be a blessing to others. And it starts with the battle of the mind. Train the brain. Amen. Everybody good? Hallelujah. Father God, we love you, bless you, Lord. Thank you for your word. We ask the Father, you just keep this word protected. Apply the blood of Jesus all over everybody, Lord, and keep us safe. Travels to and from, Lord, and dreams and visions throughout the night. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.